Book of Mormon and Bible figures are not the only ones with a story. We each have our own story. The older we get, the more interesting our story is. They always contain these elements: burdens, our response, and our attitude. There are so many words for burdens: suffering, affliction, adversity, tribulation, trials, difficulties, and challenges are a few synonyms that come to mind. M. Catherine Thomas, in her book Spiritual Lightning, uses the phrase individually orchestrated life events instead of adversity or trials. I like it a lot because it describes and acknowledges the hand of the Lord in our lives. My daughters tell me frequently that everything happens for a reason, Mom. Indeed it does. You and I already made the choice to come to Earth. It is the only way to gain the experiences we need to return to our Heavenly Father. We learn from our sojourn on Earth the difference between good and evil, and that there is opposition in all things. In 2 Nephi 2:11, Lehi said, "It must needs be that there is an opposition in all things. If not so, righteousness could not be brought to pass, neither wickedness, neither holiness, nor misery, neither good nor bad." We also learn that we are free to choose liberty and eternal life, or to choose captivity and spiritual death. Neil A. Maxwell, in his book All These Things Shall Give Thee Experience, writes, "The second estate emphasizes experiential learning through applying, proving, and testing. Further, to be untested and unproven is also to be unaware of all that we are. It is here that our Christ-like characteristics are further shaped and our spiritual skills thus strengthened. As Christ is our example in all things, so is he our example in bearing burdens." Alma 7:11-12 describes the Son of God suffering pains and affliction and temptations of every kind, and thus that the word might be fulfilled, which saith he will take upon him the pains and sicknesses of his people. And he will take upon him death, that he may loose the bands of death which bind his people. And he will take upon him their infirmities, that he may know according to the flesh how to succor his people. He also took upon himself the sins of his people. Who are his people? We are. These were Christ's burdens. We will not ever have to suffer like Christ did. However, there is no way to get through life unscathed. In D&C 122, the Lord succors Joseph Smith. The prophet was a prisoner in the jail at Liberty, Missouri at the time. How kind, gentle, and loving the Lord is, letting Joseph Smith know that thy God shall stand by thee forever and ever. The Lord then describes in detail what-if scenarios of trials Joseph could go through. If the very jaws of hell shall gape open the mouth wide after thee, know thou, my son, that all these things shall give thee experience and shall be for thy good. Then, in D&C 122:8, the Lord asks and answers Joseph Smith, "The Son of Man hath descended below them all. Art thou greater than he?" That scripture, I believe, is the answer to any why me questions any of us may have. So, what should be our attitude and response to the tribulations given to us? Christ gives us the perfect example in Gethsemane when he asks, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He responded by doing his Father's will and finished all he had to do to fulfill his glorious mission on earth. Having Christ's attitude of "not my will, but thine be done," is essential for not just enduring trials, but actually thriving. Then, in the strength of the Lord, did we go forth to battle. Battles, skirmishes, struggles. Each one of us has access to the Lord's strength to bear the burden so wisely given to us so that we can fulfill our own mission on earth. He gives us a commandment in D&C 88:63. It's also a beautiful promise. "Draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. Seek me diligently, and ye shall find me. Ask, and ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." These are ways we can follow this commandment. Through prayer, Alma 37:37 says, "Counsel with the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good." Counseling with the Lord connotes to me intense two-way communication. Fasting, as a way to focus and to have the right attitude, pairs closely with prayer. A former stake president of mine always said, "You have to read Revelation to get Revelation. Study your scriptures and church publications to expand your knowledge of the gospel. Seek the Lord and draw near unto him." Many times we receive answers to prayers through studying scriptures. By taking the sacrament each Sunday, we start our week in the Lord's strength by renewing our covenant with him to remember him. Remember to pay your tithing. Can we ever repay the Lord? No, but we can pay our tithing to show our gratitude, love, and obedience. One of my most treasured possessions is my temple recommend. What a blessing it is to enter the house of the Lord. I have a friend who many would say has more than his share of trials. He has done endowments for hundreds of men who have already passed on. The service, peace, and inspiration he has found there has truly strengthened him and made his burdens easier to bear. Prayer and fasting, studying scriptures and church publications, paying tithing, and attending the temple are primary pathways for learning and doing the Lord's will and accessing his strength. They should be the basis for dealing with life experiences. Besides these, there are a few other tools I use in my life that work for me. A mission statement, your very own, not your spouse's, not your children's. And it doesn't have to be fancy. Mine is, get my house in order. It can be applied to many different facets of my life. I try not to do anything that doesn't fit with that, and mostly I succeed. Eating an entire bag of Hershey's Kisses while preparing this talk, however, it doesn't fit at all. Exercise is a great blessing in my life. There are so many benefits, mentally, physically, and even socially. Start slowly, but do it consistently. Humor and laughter heal. Even hard things can be funny. After two sessions of chemotherapy, essentially all my hair had fallen out, even eyelashes. My daughters and I were lounging on my bed, chatting. One of them, out of the blue, blurted out, "Okay, 10 reasons why it's great to have no hair." Instantly, it was all right. We laughed a lot. Here are three of the reasons. You never have a bad hair day. You have no hair. You can draw in your eyebrows wherever you want. A trial-size shampoo lasts a really long time. Along with laughing, a positive outlook goes a long way. It involves being grateful to the Lord and counting your blessings. Do you believe that there's an advantage to every difficult trial you are put in? Sometimes it just takes a while to figure it out. Take a break if things are really, really hard. For one day, don't have cancer. For one day, forget about being in the middle of a divorce or financial woes or grieving. Even 2 hours can make a difference. Take a walk, take a bubble bath, call a friend, and don't talk about the subject. I adore my friends and family. When we see each other for comfort, love, counsel, and give unselfishly of our time and talents, we are doing the Lord's work. Well, we have many different resources and tools to help us access the Lord's strength and guidance to help us do the Lord's will. We still don't know what will happen to us. How will our adversity unfold? Will the Lord be there for us? We have to have faith and trust in the Lord and in His individual plan for us. In Abraham 2:8, the Lord states, "My name is Jehovah, and I know the end from the beginning. Therefore my hand shall be over thee." In explanation, M. Catherine Thomas says in Spiritual Lightning, "A loving Father shapes our path according to a prearranged premortal covenant. We exercise our will through our choices, but He retains the power to open or close the doors to our future. The Lord has a perfect perception of our developmental needs. Of course, the Lord will be there for us." He tells Joseph Smith in D&C 122:9, "Therefore, fear not what man can do, for God shall be with you forever and ever." God is committed to each one of us. "For behold, this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man." I like what Alma says to his son Shiblon about trust in the Lord. Alma 38:5 says, "I would that ye should remember that as much as ye shall put your trust in God, even so much, ye shall be delivered out of your trials and your troubles and your afflictions, and ye shall be lifted up at the last day." The story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20 is a story of trust and faith in the Lord. Jehoshaphat was a king of Judah who ruled in Jerusalem about 900 BC. A great army rose up against him, coming from beyond the sea. Jehoshaphat, when told, was afraid and went immediately to the Lord, seeking His help. He also proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. In the house of the Lord, he sought the Lord and beseeched Him. "We have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." All of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. They sought the Lord in meekness and were willing to do whatever He asked. And He heard them and was there for them. The Lord said, "Be not afraid nor dismayed. The battle is not yours, but God's. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." No one but the Lord knew how this would unfold, yet they fell down and worshiped Him, having faith and trust in the Lord. The next morning, as they were told, they arose and went to the battlefield, singing and praising the Lord. As Judah approached the watchtower overlooking the valley, they saw only dead bodies. The enemy had slain each other. None escaped. Another story of faith and trust in the Lord comes to mind, the story of Esther. Esther was chosen above all the fair maidens in the land to be the new queen with King Ahasuerus, who ruled Persia and Media. She was a Jew, as her relative Mordecai was. However, Mordecai asked her not to tell her king husband that she was a Jew, and she obeyed. Mordecai was of the palace and came to know about a plot to harm the king. He told Esther, who told the king. The two men involved were killed. It was recorded in the king's book of Chronicles that Mordecai discovered the plot and most likely saved the king's life. Meanwhile, the king advanced a man named Haman above all the princes. All the servants in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, except Mordecai. This angered Haman. Knowing Mordecai was a Jew, his wrath grew, and he decided to destroy all Jews throughout the kingdom. Haman was clever, and the king trusted him. He persuaded the king to write a decree destroying all Jews on a certain day to come, the 13th day of Adar. There was great mourning, weeping, and wailing among the Jews. Mordecai, through a messenger, sent a copy of the decree and a message to Esther. Go in unto the king, make supplication unto him, and plead for your people. Big problem. If anyone comes into the inner court of the king without being called, they will be killed unless the king holds out his scepter to them. Esther had not been called in 30 days. She let Mordecai know this, but he tells her she must do this anyway. Esther then reveals the depth of her faith and trust in God. She asks all the Jews in Shushan, her city, to fast for 3 days. Esther and her maidens do the same. She says in Esther 4:16, "And so I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." She did not know what was going to happen, but instead trusted in the Lord and did his will. As it turned out, Esther was accepted by the king. She was able to let the king know of Haman and his evil plan. Haman was hanged from gallows he built for Mordecai. Mordecai was honored in many ways for saving the king's life in the past. He became very powerful and mighty. The Jews were saved and victorious over their enemies. Jewish people today still observe Purim, a celebration of Esther's story. I want to share with you some of my own life experience. A caveat, we're not comparing with Esther or Jehoshaphat. I mentioned chemotherapy before. I was diagnosed with lymphoma in October about 7 years ago. It was a very fast-growing type, so I either would respond well to the therapy or move on to be with my Heavenly Father quickly. I remember sitting in the waiting room waiting for the results of the CAT scan. I felt peace and that everything would be all right. I didn't know what all right meant, if I would live or not. An interesting thing happened. Just like the focus on a camera instantly takes the fuzz out of a picture, so has the focus in my life changed. It was very clear to me what was important. It was important for me to finish raising my children while on earth. It was important to get close to the Lord and to follow all his commandments, which to me means doing his will. D&C 93:20, "For if you keep my commandments, you shall receive of his fullness and be glorified in me as I am in the Father. Therefore I say unto you, you shall receive grace for grace." I put my trust and faith in the Lord, withholding nothing. It was the first time in my life I truly and completely did that. I stepped off into what I thought was darkness, but I was really stepping into his arms. But behold, the Lord hath redeemed my soul from hell. I have beheld his glory, and I am encircled about eternally in the arms of his love. Where I withheld nothing from him, he withheld nothing from me. The Lord both strengthened me and visited me in my affliction. He made my family's burdens much easier to bear. Having moved across the country in September, we knew no one. 1 month later, bam. We called our home teacher from the hospital. It was almost midnight when we finally returned home. There he was in a white shirt and tie, standing in the middle of the driveway. He wanted to make sure I received a priesthood blessing that night. I remember one Sunday, three minivans in our driveway, all delivering pans of lasagna. The freezer was absolutely stocked. My children had rides everywhere. I never asked, and I learned to receive graciously. But the best part, the ward became my family, and those are eternal bonds. I was healed. I get to finish raising my children. I have the blessing of having grandchildren on this earth. I am truly grateful. This is my heart's desire and my own life experience plan. The other part of this plan, though, the hard part, is that where I was married, I am now single. Trials affect more than one person. They affect many people. We all have the freedom to exercise our own will. I would never ask to go through most kinds of challenges, but oh, how and what I've learned. I would never pass that up. I know now that each of us is a precious and beloved daughter of our Heavenly Father. We have to know this at the core of our being. I know the Lord is always there for us. We withdraw from Him. I find joy in every day if I give thanks to the Lord. That is a promise I made, thanking Him every day, and I do. We do not know how long our journey on earth will be. The Lord does. He tells Joseph Smith, "Thy days are known. Use your time here wisely." Remember, whatever principle of intelligence we attain unto in this life, it will rise with us in the resurrection. And if a person gains more knowledge and intelligence in this life through his diligence and obedience than another, he will have so much the advantage in the world to come. May you end up with a really interesting life story. Hang on and enjoy the ride. I leave you with my favorite scripture, 2 Nephi 31:20. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. I testify to you that Christ is the great healer and redeemer of us all. And I say these things in his name. Amen.